from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Little City Limits thinks that Russell Wilson is going to get replaced. That's what I heard him say. He only rates him a 2.5 going into the season out of 5. Bob Pompeiani says they can win with him. Bob thinks he's going to play and play pretty well. I think he's going to be a little better than that. I'm a big Russell Wilson backer, but I'm only 52% on board having said that. And I think it's going to be boom or bust, I might add. I don't think you're going to get like an average Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be really good, or he's going to get replaced. One of those two. I think it's boom or bust, and I'm leaning toward boom. I like Russell Wilson. I always have. Always been a big fan of his. I think sometimes he didn't get the credit he deserved in Seattle because their defense was so great. They had Marshawn Lynch. But this guy came in as a third-round pick, undersized, and he battled his ass off to become a star quarterback for the Seahawks, and he helped them win and win a ton of games. And Bob, it sort of belies his image as this robotic prima donna, you know, guy just out for publicity type. What he's actually done on the field in his career belies that. He is a tough sort of blood and guts guy. He had a lot to prove coming into this league, and he proved it in a hurry. I think he's a Hall of Famer, and I still think he's got a lot left.
Yeah, you did. He was looked at as undersized. What was he, a third-round pick originally? Yeah. Had to battle all those things and put up some unbelievable seasons in Seattle. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he's right there on the cusp of a Hall of Fame career. But I also know that he would like to win more. And he, you know, this was an opportunity. He felt that he could lead them to where they needed to go after what happened last year with the quarterback situation. So, yeah, he's proven it. So, I like people who have resumes that go deep like his. And the question will be, again, just does he have enough weaponry around him to get this done?
I want to talk to people, Bob. I want to talk to people. Like, what's the vibe you get about Russell Wilson, too? Do you like him so far? Do you like his persona? Do you like the little of what we've seen on the field? How good do you think he's going to be? How do you think, like, so far he has come off to Steelers fans, to the public, Bob? What do you think of that? Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I think he's wonderful about that. He goes up at training camp. He talks to people. He signs autographs. He conducts himself. He knows how to handle press conferences, all of that. You've heard different things about locker room being a diva, somebody above everybody else.
Is it too canned and robotic?
Crosby canned and robotic?
Good question. I mean, that's a good question. It's fair.
He does what he's supposed to do. He's a leader. He acts the role. Sidney Crosby knows what he has to do. There are obligations with that role. I think both of those guys do it. They understand it. They embrace it. You may look at it that way. Some people would. But
I feel like as time
I'd rather have that than someone who doesn't want to talk or talks one day a week and then becomes short and, you know, a little annoyed by doing it. That's not what you want out of a quarterback or a leader.
Some people actually would like that.
Okay.
Like they want to see something real underneath there.
How do you know that's not real, though? I don't know what's real or not real.
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just throwing it out there that this is his persona. You had Mark Schlereth talk about toxic positivity with
Russ. Well,
there's something
personal there, I think.
Like nothing's ever wrong in Russell Wilson's world. Nothing's ever wrong. I like him, but I feel like I don't know him at all from his even from his public persona.
I'm not talking about privately.
I'm talking about. I don't know how to explain it. Like, give me something more. I think Sid, as his career has gone on, we've gotten to know him very well. If he's pissed off about something, he'll let you know. We've seen Sid in post games, not be happy. We've seen him,
but it's not an angered You know, you
I've seen. Yes, we have seen like, him angry like
what
at times.
What defines angry with him? He knows how to reel it in. He can make his point without becoming angry.
He does, but I think that we've seen more of Sid's personality as his career has gone on, and he's been angry after games. He has spoken his mind at times. This is Russ. This is you won't question that. This is Russell Wilson's. Sort of profile coming in here.
Persona.
His persona. Yeah. Better word. And thank you, Bob, for adding that word.
No, I that's what it is, and that's what we've seen. If things go bad and then he's challenged a little bit.
Well, they went horribly bad in Denver. I just feel like you could.
But
you
I
could
thought he handled that situation mic, very well.
You could there. Stick a mic in his face if, you know, a house is burning behind him, and it would be that meme that says, nothing to see here, everything's good. Everything's great. I just wonder about that. That's all. I just wonder about it. I love his positivity. I've always liked him. But it's undeniable that there have been issues with teammates, right, mm-hmm. in the past. I mean, I could go to 100 quotes.
No, you're right.
Fresh
start with a guy, don't you have to give him the benefit of the doubt until
absolutely.
You see something differently?
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm
yes.
doing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I just feel like a little more needs to come out of him at times. Limits?
You want to go to Vic in McKeesport?
Yes, I do. Hi, Vic.
So, fellas, what's up? Hey, listen, everybody talking about Wilson and how teammates are calling him this, calling that. Wilson has had no issues. If you look at his stats, they're better than Ben Roethlisberger's. Only thing he don't have is two Super Bowls, and he would have had them other than that dumb call by his coach to try to throw the ball at the 2-yard line rather than give it to Marshawn Lynch. I could have scored from the 2-yard line, and I run the 40 in about 40 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So, please, that's just not right. And then everybody's talking about
well, wait a second. Wait. What's not right? Because I could go to a number of quotes from people like Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman, it never seemed, was a huge Russell Wilson fan. So.
Okay.
Because, okay. But let me finish here, because
okay.
he says he's too corporate. You can go when the Steelers sign Russell Wilson, and Sherman's quote was something, I'm paraphrasing here, tried to get a hold of Russell, you have to go through his people to get him. That's how teammates like Richard Sherman viewed him. That's just a fact. So wherever you want to go from there, but when you say, you know, that's just, it exists, that's real.
So what that he don't want to hang out and you got to go through his corporate people to get to him. So what? I mean, look at, like I said, let's compare him to Ben. We all know what his history is. So come on, man. I mean, don't dog the man for no reason at all.
Who's dogging him?
You hear a lot. I'm not saying you guys. I'm saying a lot of people in Pittsburgh is saying, oh, they should have kept Kenny Pickett.
I don't hear anybody saying that. Actually,
okay, well, you're not listening then, brother.
That they should, that you hear people in Pittsburgh saying that the Steelers should have kept Kenny Pickett. Do you hear that, Bob?
All the time. I'm not talking about necessarily radio media. Walk up into a Giant Eagle or walk up into a Shop and Save and listen to all the talk.
All right.
You know what I hear more of?
Barbershop.
I hear more, Vic, of they should have kept Mason Rudolph than they should have kept Kenny Pickett.
Right. Well, I'm telling you what I'm hearing. And, you know, I guess we all hear different things. You know, some people listen too slow. Some people talk too fast. I'm just saying.
Well, that's
hey,
true.
Man,
that's true.
I
agree
have a
with
higher,
that one.
I think he's a 4. I wrote and said they should bring in Russell Wilson. I'm a big fan. Just trying to have a conversation here. I think he's really good.
I'm not a Russell Wilson fan. However, I think he's going to do just fine.
Wait a second. You just spent the whole conversation talking him up, and now you say you're not a Russell Wilson fan?
I'm not. But that don't mean I don't like football, and that don't mean I don't like good quarterbacks.
But why aren't you a Russell Wilson fan?
Because I'm a Dak Prescott fan. I'm a Cowboy fan.
Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. You don't have much to stand on right now with their lack of winning.
I wouldn't mind him being the Steelers' next quarterback.
You know what? What's funny, Bob, is I bumped into you a few times up at Central.
Yeah.
China. I'm not trying to throw them no plug.
Yeah, but that's a good place.
I told you back then. I was a Cowboy fan, and you looked at me sideways like,
No, I mean, see, Jerry Jones needs to – here's what I think about the Cowboys. Not that we're going off tangent here, but Jerry Jones is the owner. He needs to remove his GM label, but he's never going to do
right.
it. So
right. Him and his son. And you know what? Jerry Jones so damn old, he went to school with Harriet Tubman, so he's not like, it's time for him to go. I mean, that dude is just way too old to be owning anything other than a retirement home that he resides in.
Thank you, sir. That was good stuff.
Vic,
all the way around.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson in his career, Bob, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
334 touchdowns against 106 interceptions and a 100 career passer rating.
Yeah, and again, like look at the interceptions. I talked about efficient. That's the one thing they like about him and Mike Tomlin specifically. He doesn't make a lot of errant throws that lead to bad situations and change field position and change outcomes of games for the most part.
Whatever you think of the passer rating as a measurement, would either one of you like to guess at where Russell Wilson ranks? All time in the NFL in passer rating. I'll give you both one guess.
11th.
I think he's 6th.
Wrong and wrong. Russell Wilson is 4th all time in passer rating and one of only 4 quarterbacks in the history of the league. And again, passer rating doesn't lend itself to the old time guys like Terry Bratt, even people like Steve Young, Kurt Warner, even Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, although Ben's pretty high, but I'm talking, or Montana, he's a great example. He's only 22nd. So take it for what it's worth, right, Bob, on passer rating? But he's 4th all time. Guess who's ahead of him? Limits, I want you in on this,
Aaron
too.
Aaron Rodgers.
Hang up on the caller, Limits. I want you in on this, too. Aaron Rodgers is 1 at 103.6.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm only kidding, Bob. Never hang up on a caller.
Joe Montana?
No, I just told you he was 22nd and you weren't listening.
I wasn't listening. Passer rating.
Might be time for a Paul pause here.
Rodgers, I'm not
looking. No, he's not even listening. I don't know what he's doing.
I am not.
Joe, I'm listening even when you think I'm not listening.
I know you are. He said, who are the three people? Limits. Who are the three people ahead of Russell Wilson all
time? So Rodgers is one of them.
Yes. You're going to use up both your paw pauses in one segment here. Patrick Mahomes is 2nd at 103.5. Okay. And Deshaun Watson is 3rd.
See, I would never have guessed that.
Here's the thing about Deshaun Watson. He was a star in Houston. The last time we saw him in Houston, for a crap team at 4-12, he completed 70% of his passes for 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 7 picks. So, there you have it.
You know, Joe, I'm sorry that I was not able to talk there because there's a very important caller on the line that wants to call in and talk to you about this.
Please. Is Tony on the line
again? Tony's on the line.
Oh, no.
Is he?
Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Joe.
I love that.
Jim Render should replace Tomlin.
Is this Tony or
Joey?
Is this Tony?
This is Tony. He said
this
he's Tony.
This is confusing because you're playing
Tony.
The old Tony quotes. Let the man talk. Hi, Tony. Now he hangs up.
Wow.
He hung up.
What is going on?
How about that? What is up with that guy?
I like that call. That was good from Tony. Are you convinced it was actually Tony? Did I stutter?
It sounded like the same guy.
I love a little, hey, Joe. Touche, my friend.
All right, Bob. Now that you've mentioned it, let's have Bob take us through the most infamous call of all.
Did I stutter?
From his perspective, because this was really rock bottom. And as I've said, I invented the medium of calling Bob's show under different aliases, but Pony took it to another level, Bob. Let's hear this, and then let's hear it from Bob's perspective. Go ahead.
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pie Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Pony.
I know
how are you falling for this?
All right,
again?
So
first of all, you have to understand that.
Bob, take us through it.
First of all, as I go through every week,
yes,
everyone's sitting behind the glass like Austin is right now. I always tell them, now you have to be very mindful of who. And if you give me the green light,
yes,
because we, you know, there are older callers that call all the time.
Of course.
Chuck in Uniontown is one of them, and there are others. So if you tell me they're legit, then they're legit. I have to trust you because I haven't talked to these people.
And you were on location that day.
I was on location. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, okay, now I look everything. And if I see an alliterate, I think of you. I think you went one deeper than that, though, with what was her name?
Fanny
and Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Had that one at the ready.
Yeah, Fanny. What am I supposed to do in these situations? There are Georges in Washington County. There are Alvins in Aliquippa.
Did it ring any alarm bells at all?
Again, though, it has to be the producer who tells me.
I know, but when you said it, did you think, uh-oh? Or,
yes, I think that about everything. You've gotten into my head to the point now where I, no matter who I see, I'm thinking it's Joe Starkey, and it's not. It's somebody.
Hey, Bob, you think Gino's very back up for you?
But again, if I can't talk to, right? City Limits sitting over there. He talks to the people first.
Right.
Like you just discovered it was Tony. You didn't. You probably were saying, is this really Tony?
I did wonder that.
So same thing. So if you give me the clearance that this is George in Washington, then I'm going to say George in Washington.
Are you? But Limits is on top of this stuff. They vetted me last week. I called in. I forget the name I called in.
Oh, the amount of times that Joe has called in to try to get right through. And I'm like, hi, Joe, right away. How are you?
All right, but you're on top of that.
There's another guy or two who aren't on top of
it. Well, who knows? I mean, maybe that was fake Tony. Maybe that was someone else. Maybe that wasn't Tony.
That's step one, and I get Bob's point. He trusted his producer, and George in Washington got through. But then when the call started, I think a lot of people were curious. It took all the way till the wooden teeth
to break down. Because I don't want to disrespect callers who call in. I think a lot of them, and if you do that, and if you say something to someone who's actually a legitimate caller, then, you know, that doesn't sound good. I respect them for calling. And I'm thinking about that. As that call went on, I'm thinking, I didn't know it was Andrew at first.
Let me put my wooden teeth in.
That's when I knew it was Andrew. So, what am I supposed to do? If I say, hey, you're a jerk for calling, don't mess with, and it's somebody legitimate. And then
I have too
much respect for people who call. I don't do that. So
I buy both of Bob's. Well, the first one, George in Washington, I think would have rang alarm bells for me. What if somebody like Ron from Cook's Forest called you, Bob?
Well, that would be a little bit too.
ring alarm bells?
Yeah, that
Ron
one would.
Ron in Cook's Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy. You know what they say. You can't make the club in the top, Bob.
Ron texted me this morning, Bob.
And what did he have to say?
Just greetings and welcome to the machine type of stuff. He's doing well in Florida.
Joe, I'm going to text Ron and see if he responds.
No.
Just say, hey, Ron, how you doing?
Don't poke the bear.
Just want to see how he's doing, like a check-in.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm a nice person. I'm curious of Ron's well-being.
No, don't do that. Leave him alone. He's a bear in hibernation from here till whenever he lives till. Just leave him alone. Do you agree, Bob?
Yes.
Let him drink.
Yes, he wants to do it. He has his routine, and his routine is legitimately his routine.
Yeah.
You've upset me, but that's okay.
That's okay.
What were we talking about now?
Russell Wilson
happened?
Being fourth in the history of the league rating with 100 passer. Bottom line is, I think he's good, but I think there's so much fodder for conversation about his personality, how it may have evolved over the years, about how teammates felt or feel about him, about how he's coming off in Pittsburgh so far. Do you like what you see or no? And about whether he'll be any good. I mean, this is a fascinating experiment. That Mike Tomlin is trying here. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. All of that, Bob. It's a very juicy topic.
It is a topic. And it's, you know, it's, we're going to see it play out. And this is what we're asking people. 1 to 5, Joe, respond. What do you think the response is going to be? Call us. Let us know what you think about where he is on that 1 to 5 scale.
I mean, a week ago, I put out a quickie Twitter poll in like a half hour, they're like 400 people. Who would you rather have, Fields or Russell, starting the opener? And I'm not saying this is scientific by any means, but it could be a little bit at least. 52% wanted Fields. I wonder if that changes based on one.
It's the backup quarterback syndrome that everyone has.
Yes.
They're always better. Why are you doing this guy? You have this athletic guy. And the athleticism is great, which is why I agree with what you said earlier.
There it is again. They're talking about it again on Good Morning Football.
And it says, Mike Tomlin says he will name a starting quarterback at the end of the week. Does he really have to do that?
I mean, to be fair, Tomlin is fueling all of this by
of
not
course
naming
he is.
One. So if I were on Good Morning Football, I'd be talking about this too. Even if it's, see, the story isn't who's going to start. It's going to be Russell. The story is, has Justin Fields moved up his timeline? Has he shown Tomlin enough to where Tomlin will be quicker to go to the bullpen than he would have been before camp started? Did Fields use all those extra reps to improve his standing? Do you think he did or no?
I think I have the same questions that I've had.
Me too.
About him when he was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And most of it is his ability to work within the pocket, resist the temptation to run and use your legs all the time. I mean, Kenny Pickett got into that with his spin left move. Everyone knew that when he got into trouble, he was going to spin away, and ultimately he spun himself into a lot of sacks. And when he did escape those sacks, he would also limit the amount of field he could see, which led to bad decisions. So you have to show from a pocket point of view that you can do it. And, you know, he has the ability to do it. Have I seen it for me? No, not enough. So hopefully he can. He's very dynamic. There's no question about that. And I think he has a good arm. He just has to show more of that. And the answer is, if he doesn't get the starting job, probably not. If there was a competition, which I don't think there was.
Meanwhile, just for interest's sake, Kenny Pickett apparently is ahead of Tanner McKee, but the margin, the gap remains slim, according to people who cover the Eagles here. Chris Franklin, Eagles beat writer, says that barring an injury to Hurts, Saturday was the last time Pickett would get significant playing time, and he played okay. It was enough for him to maintain the backup quarterback role over Tanner McKee, but the gap remains slim.
Will Greer was also on that roster. Whatever happened, is he not part of this at all?
Who?
Will Greer, the former West Virginia.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
on it, and he was with Carolina a little bit. I thought maybe he might push them for a job.
Doesn't seem like it. Let's go to the lines, Bob. Who do you got, Limitless Wonder?
Brian in Brookline.
Oh, no.
Brian in Brookline. I think I know this man. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Joseph. Brian from Brookline. Now, question for you guys. What's the hook on Russell Wilson? Like when Pickett was Trubisky was in, Tomlin yanked him after four games to put Pickett in. When do you see that for Russell Wilson?
Bob, this
what
is a great question. Let me rephrase it.
This has nothing
way.
To do with injury. This is performance
based.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase it to you this way. In fact, are you still there, Brian from Brookline?
I am, Joe.
I'll let you both answer this. If Russell Wilson has the exact same start to this season that Trubisky did a couple years ago, would you replace him? Will Tomlin replace him?
I think it would take more than that,
more.
To be honest, just because he's Russell Wilson. I think he'll defer to his experience and the fact that he can dig himself out of situations. If it gets any worse than that, though, and depending on what their record is, knowing what the back half of the season has in store for them with all these division games back-to-back thrown in, Eagles and KC,
yeah,
he may make a move. But I don't think he will. I think it's not going to be easy for him to do that.
Unless
it's a catastrophic disaster.
Brian, what do you think? Russell Wilson plays like Trubisky. Does he pull him?
I disagree with both of you. Here's what I think. Tomlin is enamored with his speed, his elusiveness, like Lamar Jackson. I think he yanks him. Because he's enamored with the athlete of Justin Fields.
But he's not enamored with the turnover. That's the one thing that he's preached for over and over and over the last several years is don't turn the ball over. You know, ball protection, ball security, stay on schedule. Justin Fields is a guy who has shown you that he will make mistakes.
He can, but he also can take over a game with his legs. What quarterback do you know can run for 1,200 yards?
But again, a quarterback in the NFL has got to do more than run.
But his point is that he's right about this, and thank you, Brian, in Brookline. He's right that Tomlin has been absolutely in love with Fields since the draft that Fields came out.
But he's also not in love with turnovers.
I know. I know that.
You just stated who has a passer rating for all time. Part of that is not turning the ball over. You know, so pick your poison there if that's what it's going to be. You could be enamored with all the athleticism you want.
But you know what he is enamored with? His points. That's what he wants. And I'm not saying I think Justin Fields should be in there or will be in there. But man, you better have an offense that's more productive
absolutely.
Than last year.
But I think that falls on Arthur Smith too. I mean, they have to come up with better. You know, last year George Pickens was ignored in the red zone. How does that happen? You know, he's a guy you're supposed to go to a lot in those situations, and it just didn't happen. I think you're going to see a different red zone attack this year when they get in there. So, strategy wise, philosophy wise, and play calling wise.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, limits, a few baseball topics. But first, I did promise that Jason LaCanfora, Russell Wilson clip. This was from about a week ago or so. LaCanfora on the Tony Kornheiser podcast. Let's hear what he had to say.
Russell Wilson, I think, is done and he knows he's done. And I don't see the upside there. I don't see. He doesn't add anything to your run game anymore. And the pass game looks like a guy who's really sort of conditioned and maybe content is too strong of a word, but he just is a check down. He's a check down maven now. Like
the last part, we'll see. The first part is ridiculous. He's done and he knows he's done. We could argue about whether the stats lied a little bit last year in Denver. I actually think Russell Wilson was pretty good, but you don't get 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions or 20-1 in the red zone by like accident if you stink. I wanted to see him the other day, and even last week, I just wanted to see Russell Wilson on the field to make sure that weird little injury he has wasn't lingering. He can still, I think, play. He certainly thinks he can still play. Russell Wilson's done, and he knows it. What a statement, Bob.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all, and I think that's a clickbait kind of thing. So we play comments like that on shows like this. I do agree, though, that check down is a problem, and sometimes it becomes the number one choice in situations that get a little tenuous, you know, when you're...
Well, wait, if Jason LaCanfora believes that, then why shouldn't we play it?
I'm just saying, I don't... He could believe it. He's wrong. I think that's an extreme... Why would you say that? If he thinks he's done, he's coming off 26-8. He's here. The Steelers have put him in a position where he's going to be their starter. Why would he think he's done? I don't get that vibe at all.
Me neither.
I have no idea why he said it.
Me neither. But I think the point there is that he's not the only one who, A, doesn't think Russell Wilson can play anymore, and B,
that's different than what he said, isn't it? He said he thinks he's done. Like, Russell Wilson actually thinks he's done?
Right.
I
think he's wrong. But to get a view of what national people are saying, a lot of people, A, don't think he's very good anymore, and B, think that he's a fraud. Do you have any other clips out there?
I have a longer Jason LaCanfora clip. I also have one on Dan Orlovsky and Adam Schefter. Dan Orlovsky is under this belief that this was truly a quarterback competition
but
from the start.
He backed off from that today.
And this is what he had to say.
I would have started Justin Fields, but this was never a quarterback competition. We were bamboozled a little bit. And I have endless amounts of respect for Mike Tomlin. There's no way that this is a quarterback competition. Russell missed practice and only played in essentially one game. Greeny, I remember when both of the moves were made, being on the show, and we said, if this was really going to be an open quarterback competition, I expected Justin Fields to win that. This was never a quarterback competition. Russell played in preseason week two. He threw the ball twice against the Steelers. Now, Justin Fields has had the ups and downs, the waves and whatnot. I thought he threw the ball really well versus the Detroit Lions. Everyone was going to say he took two more sacks, and neither of them were on him. And so I understand the premise of, like, they're banking on the hopeful, more consistency from Russell Wilson, but this was never a quarterback competition. If it was, Russell would have played much more in preseason week three this past weekend. I would have started Justin Fields, and I would have tried to minimize the riding of the wave. That's not the case in Pittsburgh.
You think you're not riding a wave with Justin Fields? What? What is he talking about, Bob?
And he used the word bamboozled, which is a wrong word. Nobody. Who was bamboozled?
He makes Justin Fields sound like the model of consistency, play to play and week to week. Is he kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, he's falling in love with this athletic ability too. And listen, everyone likes that aspect of his game, but that's not what has gotten him into trouble. What's gotten him into trouble is panic in the pocket and delivering bad throws into situations that result in turnovers. And so to me, that's, if you're going to give up on a guy, that's the reason. He rushed for 2,200 yards in his time in Chicago. That's great, but most of it is the result of not trusting his own ability in the pocket, I thought. And I thought that's one of the things I need to see more of. We saw it in the one throw over the middle last week, which was great. Need to see more of that. That's all.
He's making it sound like, you know, if it were a competition, Justin Fields did enough to win it. I categorically disagree with that.
Me too.
And don't forget Russell Wilson last year. After they started 1-3, beat Cleveland, Minnesota, at Buffalo, Kansas City, and Green Bay. That's five pretty good wins in a row,
right?
And he played well in every single one of those games. So I think he can still be consistent. Then he comes out and he throws three touchdowns with no picks, and they beat the Bears, and then they have that horrendous game against... I'm going in reverse order here. They beat the Chargers, and then he eventually got benched after the New England game, in which he went 25-37 for two touchdowns and no picks and 103 rating. So obviously they had an agenda to try to get a look at Stidham, or so they said. And of course, Stidham's not even starting this year. They went out and drafted a guy. They wanted him out in Denver, and he played well anyway. I'm curious to see where this goes.
At the end of this, when this story is written, either Sean Payton's going to be looked at as somebody who really understands quarterbacks and can sense when someone has lost it, or he will be looked at as the coach who can't figure things out. You know, and if this backfires in Denver and their quarterback play stinks and he got rid of Russell Wilson, who comes in and does well,
yeah,
how will people view him?
Man, I can't wait for A, the Arthur Smith Bowl, and B, the Sean Payton-Russell Wilson Bowl. That's going to be a great game. With a lot of interest. All right, Bob. Couple of Pirates issues. Very quick thoughts. 10 seconds or less here. Hank Davis coming back. Joey Bart on the injured list.
Hank Davis should play every day, get a lot of at-bats. I want to see it. They have a month to figure this out with him heading into an offseason, and then you could determine what you need to do in that offseason. Joey Bart, feel bad for. I think he's going to be your starting catcher next year, which makes you wonder, if that bat comes to life for Davis, where will he be?
Man, I think Davis should be a first baseman if they can make him into one. I'm not saying now's the time. It might be detrimental to throw him in at first base right now, but certainly he should get some work there, you know, before games and things like that, and that should be your off-season program, because I think it should be Bart and Rodriguez as your catchers. All right. Andrew McCutchen. Had a pretty good year, or having a pretty good year, but having trouble finishing his year again, Bob. There's DH candidates on this roster in O'Neill Cruz and Henry Davis. I've gone back and forth on this a lot. Should McCutchen be brought back for his age 38 season?
Well, I mean, there's multiple parts of this story. One of them is the PR. And if he wants to continue, will they be the team that says, no, you can't? I mean, you have to make business decisions. I think there are younger bats that need to be given an opportunity to be a DH. Sure, he could be on the team, but he can't play anywhere, so that means he has to be your DH. That limits what you can do with some of the other guys.
And he's having trouble finishing seasons. I think it might be time. Plus, you go out on a high note. He's having a pretty good year. I mean, his OPS is down 30 points from last year. as is his average, but his numbers overall are actually pretty good. Pretty good. And on this team, of course, he looks like, you know, Bill Madlock or something on this team.
But you might be able to go out and get a DH at a high price. I mean, they've got to bring in bats this offseason.
Well, the problem is they have young players who can't play positions. O'Neill Cruz is one. Henry Davis is another. One of them or both have to DH, I think. O'Neill Cruz might be best suited. Bob, there's six teams between the Pirates and a playoff spot and eight games. If I had to pick the number one reason why the Pirates are not in playoff position, you know what? It's not their offense. It's their bullpen. It's David Bednar, I hate to say it, and Colin Holderman. Two guys with pedigree that you can't blame Ben Cherington for. You can't blame Derek Shelton for. Yeah, he put Holderman in a bad situation once or twice. But these are two guys with all-star pedigree, and it's on them. And I think if they could have just gone even 3-7 instead of losing 10 in a row, they would still be in it. But where it falls is the back end of the bullpen, and that begins with Bednar.
And you would be correct, but I'm not going to just let the offense slide by without any accountability.
Oh, me neither.
In one-run games, and they have so many of them, a key hit here or there, less strikeouts, putting the ball in play, do things to move runners, create, manufacture. They've done none of that.
No, of course I'm not letting the offense off the hook. I'm saying, in my opinion, the number one reason is those guys. It is. It's the back end of the bullpen. Because no matter how you get there, when you're on the mound with a lead, it's your job to protect it. That's A. B, those guys, Bednar, they have pedigree and expectations. Mm-hmm. I know most of their offense stinks, so I didn't expect much from the offense. Michael A. Taylor's a guy they just put on waivers. What'd you think of that?
I wouldn't have signed him in the first place. He's a good defensive player, there's no doubt. But there have been ups and downs with his bat. At the price they got him for, nobody got him. If you remember, that was a late signing. Nobody wanted him. All due respect to his career, what he's been able to. They have too many of those kind of players. I want to see legitimate, younger players who have a lot of resume already and who command $20 million a year on this roster.
Okay.
Or I want to see
I'd even go for one who doesn't have a resume in Nick York, as he's been working.
I'm not talking about
field.
In the organization. I'm talking about free agents to be. People are going to be out there. They need hitting.
Don't waste all this pitching
with no hitting.
I like this move. Maybe it gives him a chance to go play for a contender. More importantly, in fact, way more importantly, it allows the Pirates to look at somebody else other than him now that they're out of it. I mean, come on. What are you doing? How about the Barry Bonds reaction and everything Barry Bonds from the other day, Bob?
He still has that ability to look down at you if you ask a question he doesn't like, which I don't like. I mean, he's 60 years old. Do you think that would have passed him by and he would have just been more mellow?
Who'd he do that to?
I think there were questions about whether or not he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He didn't like the line of questioning. I mean, the Cooperstown Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. To me, he should be in the Hall of Fame, period. And I don't, as much as I may dislike him as a person, I respect him too much as a player. And all you should bet, if you're going to analyze who's in or not in, it's about performance only. None of this other stuff matters to me when you're trying to figure out a Hall of Fame.
Call now to win two tickets to the Pirates game on September 14th at 1:05 p.m. 412-928-9370. Caller number 3 to our dear friend City Limits. That's 928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob Pompiani with a showdown next. Me against City Limits. Limits against me. Me against Bob. Limits against Bob. Nobody against Paul.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.